our executive committee report is that we've invited a presentation on the campus master plan, which will take up the rest of the executive committee's reports. This is going to be a fairly detailed report of about 20 minutes. There will be time for just a few questions when the presentation is over. We've been asked to solicit faculty feedback on this presentation. So the link to the presentation will go up on the Senate website, and it will be included in the newsletters as they go out. And we're asking for written feedback by email to the Faculty Senate office by the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which I believe is December 1st, although you might want to check your calendar on that, so that we can provide that feedback to the planners and then move forward from there. So if you'd like to begin.
Well, thank you for having us here today. We certainly appreciate the time of this body. I'm happy to introduce the work that we've been undertaking since really earnest in March of this year, and to share what we've learned so far and just be able to inform you of what we've undertaken so far and get your comments. Really, our goal is to have this to be as an inclusive, open process as we can, so that's why we're here to present to you again for feedback. I would ask that you hold any questions till the end of our presentation. We have a lot of material we want to cover and make sure that we can get to it in a timely manner. Hopefully that's enough by way of an introduction. I want to make sure our partners, Chris Ann Osterby and Michael Palmer from Perkins, will have plenty of opportunity to share our work. So with that, I will turn it over to Chris Ann Osterby. Thank you.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with many of you again. I believe I saw many of you for the first time, probably in April of last year, when we introduced the fact that we were beginning this effort. And I'm hoping that some of you have had the opportunity to visit us when we had open house sessions, to look at the materials that have also been posted over the last 9 months. This is a diagram that simply refreshes your memory as to, or introduces it for the first time if you're unaware of the schedule that we've been under. As Rob said, we started in earnest in April with a series of work sessions. So the beginning in the orange blocks, if you can read the fine text, was really a process of issue analysis and the beginning of ideas to address analysis to meet the needs of the facilities, the open space, circulation and parking, and the utility infrastructure of the university. That was followed by a period in the spring and the summer of looking into details to find what were the best concepts to carry forward, to pull together, integrate, and synthesize into a preliminary plan. And then for the end of the summer and this fall, what we have been doing in the blue blocks is coming back to campus for a series of review and refinement sessions. And so we're looking forward, as you just heard, to your comments coming so that as we pull together final refinements, we incorporate your comments into the report as it is starting to evolve, and that will be our major task in December. We wanted to state, as we've had all along, that this master plan is very much focused and grounded in the mission for the university. And so we've been very inspired, particularly by the idea of how does everything we do help the university, all of the students, the faculty, and the staff meet what is very aspirational and inspirational about the activities that you have on campus, whether they are student life, academic, research, or community outreach in nature. And as we have asked in a series of focus groups and met with you also in some of the open houses, there's been a series of overarching characteristics then that are really guiding all of the solutions. Probably the top two that you see is the idea of being inclusive, universal design, welcoming of any student, whatever their age, whatever their capability, and also welcoming not only to the student population, but increasingly in terms of active learning and your engagement with the community, being a very community focused. So those are why they're kind of rising to the top of these overarching characteristics. There are also then a series of major components, if you will, physical change or reinforcement of physical assets that are already in place that we are reinforcing with the strategies as they are analyzed in terms of data and ideas and how they're implemented over time. And so it's first and foremost focusing, of course, on academics and research, that idea of being inclusive and welcoming and universal design, taking advantage of the tunnels as an asset here, and looking at ways both above ground and below ground to reinforce this idea of connectivity across the entire campus, to have communities that are not only learning communities that are academic and research focused, but increasingly to have residential life communities that reach out to students in a broad spectrum of experience, and then some components that reinforce not only that student life aspect for the on-campus students, but also for the commuting students, the nearby neighborhoods, and faculty and staff. So that's where you'll see the rec center, the special events and conferencing centers, and the multi-purpose development falling into those themes for achievement. And then moving outward, the idea of clarity, of wayfinding, of moving into the campus, and also focusing on outreach and clinics, not just what you would think of as health science clinics, but these evolving centers where people are finding increasing reasons to come to the campus. And that also ties into past planning that's been done for the Nutter Center, both as a facility, but also circulation, some of which has been informed as recently as the bid that you've been making to successfully host the presidential debates. So all of this comes from a very, first of all, data-driven analysis. We work very closely with the provost's office to understand in a time frame of short term, which is approximately 5 years, to midterm, up to about 10 years, and then long-term beyond 10 years, what the projections were that we should be testing in terms of the capacity of the campus and all of its systems to meet student enrollment. We were given both online learning as well as headcount and FTE projections. So what you're seeing in this bar chart is for the FTE on campus. It does not include the Lake campus, and it does not include essentially online learners. The faculty and staff and the space projections do address the need to support online learning, so I did want to make that distinction. With faculty and staff, we're assuming that those needs also were increasing to support increased enrollment. At this point in time, the faculty and staff projections have not been increased beyond the midterm to the long term. We have a series of interactive dashboards, so that can be done at any time by the institutions to update the master plan. Also, with the success, both prior to and now stemming from the Neuroscience Engineering Collaboration Center, there was very careful exploration of potential research growth. And the long term in the purple, that column, that's really representing not a projection of increasing staff and expenditures that are coming purely to Wright State, but really at that point, having achieved a center of activity that really is attracting corporate partners. And so that's assuming that that research growth is really coming from corporations and other organizations who want to be part of all of the activities that Wright State has organized and is supporting. And so the principal investigators are held flat, and that's the real reason you see there's not projected growth in personnel between midterm and long-term. So all this came very closely working with the Vice President for Research. So all of this information, if you looked at the information that I believe was posted by facilities on their website, you saw a whole series of reports on dashboards. The dashboard is alive. It's a series of Excel pivot tables. So again, these can be updated over time, but they were very carefully researched in terms of what national guidelines, what peer guidelines should be used to project the space assessments. That space summary is according to, you know, the general spaces that you would expect. They encompass every FICUM category, HEGIS category for space needs. And you will see that probably in the dashed lines, and it's highlighted in bold, that a significant number of square footage, the amount of space needs, comes from the need for better space, the need to replace some of the facilities that were developed in the 60s and 70s that are very different than essentially how pedagogies are carried forward today and in the future. There are also deferred maintenance issues that are significant. And so just looking at return on investment, the ability to carry forward these specific facilities in the future, this space needs diagram is identifying that essentially of the million square feet, and this would be to properly position Wright State for all of the projections, roughly a third of that is coming from space that's deficient in terms of its ability to adapt and be renovated and repurposed into the future. So the scale of that space need is shown in this diagram. The bar charts are to the same scale as the campus plan that they're shown next to. So again, you see in purple the big impact of research projections. In red, the impact for academic space. That does include not only classroom and laboratory space, but also academic office, other special use, special purpose space. And then below that, those smaller blocks for supporting student life in blue, study space in particular, for collaborative learning, not so much the stack space of a library. There was a concurrent study that we worked with that looked at housing, dining, recreational sports. So the large yellow is representing the need for or the demand for on-campus housing that could be met by students who would choose that over living off campus. And then on the left side, you see, again, a proportional demand for either new or replacement space for outdoor turf fields or indoor facilities. So this is just a quick recap, again, of the highest and best use. Every building that you're seeing in green are facilities that have deemed, you know, they're in essentially in good condition now. It's to continue the maintenance of those, continue to evolve those over time. Buildings that are in yellow, they have the capacity to be repurposed, primarily Fawcett Hall and the Student Union would fit in those categories, as well as the South Campus facilities that have been purchased. And then in the heart of the campus, which is really the crux of the master plan, are the series of buildings that ideally are almost all academic buildings that would be replaced over time. So this is an example of reorganizing the space to serve the needs. And so this is showing, if you took those bars and brought them to the campus, the arrangement that has evolved through all of the feedback that we've heard in terms of, again, the highest and best use of meeting the aspirations in the strategic plan. So the biggest differences between past planning and where we are in this current planning is focusing on creating these neighborhoods, these academic communities, as well as learning communities, bringing a research community out south of engineering and the School of Medicine to Colonel Glenn. So you see that in purple. As you see, reconfiguring, creating a new academic quad in the heart of the campus that's mixed academic and research use, focusing on some new student housing neighborhoods that are on the perimeter of the campus, essentially an area that is surface parking at this point in time, and creating a new front door hub experience, the light green, which is a new recreation center, the repurposing of essentially the recreation space within the Student Union so that it's a much more robust and student-focused student union facility, building on all of the plans that were incorporated in a master plan for that facility that was also happening in this past year. And then also looking at the potential for adding a special event center also at this new entry to the campus, a 24-hour study center that you see in blue that is also at this front door. And then really a focusing of all of the athletics and the recreation facilities on the east side of the campus. So looking at maybe a more recognizable scale closer into the campus core, this is the existing facility use by campus. You can see essentially some facilities are very college-centric as they were designed to be. Others have evolved to be multi-purpose just to fit the shift and growth of departments and colleges over time. A proposed reorganization of that could come about through this master plan is, again, to show primarily a shifting of the College of Science and mathematics facilities around some of the existing research facilities, creating a center of community in the core for that college. And then also in red, the idea, again, springboarding from the neuroscience engineering collaboration is a category of interdisciplinary facilities. And so the research quad is focused on being specifically interdisciplinary with expansion space for engineering and School of Medicine, but also in the core of the campus next to Ullman and between essentially just south of University Hall is another interdisciplinary learning center. Proposed open space was primarily focused on preservation of the woods, really looking at the character of the different stands of trees, pulling in past research that's been done on that ecosystem, looking at stormwater in particular. There are new management requirements for both quantity and quality that have been pulled into the master plan, as well as creating some learning environments that are outdoor learning environments, as well as habitat that could reflect interests of the faculty that have also been expressed, such as demonstration for pollinators, for example. Vehicular circulation is also looking at adding entrances to the campus, particularly on the south side, so that it better connects to the south campus, to spreading entrances both to the east and to west, so there's a more balanced way to enter the campus. But probably the biggest change is the proposed closure of University Boulevard, so that it's still the major visitor entry to the campus, but it is not cut through the campus. Essentially, instead, what is now the circulation drive along the western surface lot becomes a new perimeter drive, which allows then the campus to be much more pedestrian friendly and to distribute how people are entering and exit and giving a clear visitor entry. There's also, you can see the results of the Nutter traffic study, the idea of adding a perimeter loop road around the perimeter parking for the Nutter Center to increase that flow and to enhance and add to parking in that area. There are three tested areas for structured parking to not only replace parking that's being potentially displaced in the long term with these proposals, but also to give flexibility to have parking in areas of highest demand. So that structured parking is located, again, right off University Boulevard. It's also located next to Nutter Center. So we're evolving what is this vision, this new experience that is an exemplary place to visit, to work, to study, to create, that the master plan could lead to. And we're looking now, working very in depth on the potential phasing and funding, trying to build in flexibility for the phasing. I'll show you three potential phasing scenarios for short-term, middle-term, and long-term, but primarily to look at utility as something that would enable any project to be flexibly enacted regardless of the phase it might currently be thought to best belong in. And so to have interchangeability, essentially, in choices for bringing projects forward. To link those to the initiatives and to make sure, especially, that open space and parking and circulation are tied with the replacement and the renovation repurposing strategies. And then to look, of course, at the full host of funding scenarios. So essentially, as President Hopkins said, you're looking at all of the ways of funding that private institutions are currently exploring. So the short-term development is, and you'll see this in each phase, you'll see development that's focused on academic facilities, on research facilities, and on student life facilities. So they're present to meet those enrollment targets for each phase. So next to Diggs, south of Diggs, there's the proposed academic building to help replace the first phase of replacement. You'll see also just south of the School of Medicine and Engineering the opportunity to add the beginning of this new research squad, and also the opportunity, if approved by students, to add a recreation center, which would allow the repurposing of the student union and would support what is the highest demand, which is close-in suite-style student housing and a replacement for Hamilton Hall. Moving to the midterm, again, allows for academic facilities essentially north of where Diggs is, and taking away math, medical science, bioscience facilities at that point, and also the renovation of the historic quad, assuming that those facilities, again, are part of the strategy of continuing refreshment. Likewise, in the research quad, the ability to move then further south to build off the first phase of facilities, a new student housing neighborhood that would be more multi-purpose, potentially apartments, having a first floor that's very focused on community and student supportive office and retail environment, and then at that point in time, potentially also additions and improvements to the Nutter Center to expand to 13 to 14,000 seats, which is their ideal capacity. Then finally, in the long term, these are the ability for more perimeter development to fill in. So this is the opportunity to create a special event center, which could bring the core athletic events, but also larger scale conferencing back to the core of the campus itself, to have this 24-hour study space, potentially in concert with a multi-purpose parking garage and transit hub, to add some additional student housing on the perimeter, as well as to add to the clinic space for the School of Medicine and some other peripheral development. So again, here we are in 2015 with the opportunity that over time, the scale and the organization of the campus would change. The massing of everything that we're showing is consistent with the current massing. So this is roughly, on average, about a four-story development that's being proposed. And our assumption, again, is that this is being driven by experience. So whether it's within new facilities or existing facilities, that they all have a very high quality of being flexible, active learning, experiential environments, both in the inside as well as in the out-of-doors, and that they are complemented by high connectivity, ease of moving through the campus, and increasingly, bike-friendly or transit multimodal-friendly solutions. So I could touch on some resiliency categories, or I could end the presentation. I want to be respectful of your time. Is there? Okay.
A little bit.
So just very quickly, we are looking at resiliency. We're using that word as a way to talk about sustainability that is at a very high level, that is engaged with economic and societal factors, not just environmental factors. And so there's a series of recommendations that we're looking at that are really reducing costs for the facilities and getting the highest and best use at the least cost for the facilities. So that's where a lot of the repurposing and the replacement strategies do come from. But there's also this idea of creating the partnerships which can attract funding and additional investment from outside of the university, as well as looking at energy sources, which you've already started with your geothermal, for example. And so we'll be diagramming that to show where those opportunities might best take place, both in existing facilities as well as proposed facilities. And then we are taking a similar look at what are resilient site strategies. Again, so these are looking at both circulation, but also from the habitat perspective of the university. And in particular, we're starting a stormwater enhancement strategy that will be fleshed out and diagrammed further. So again, it's taking into account that in the past decade or so, the university was not, you know, required to meet essentially the standards that are now evolving in the state and the communities and across the country. And so to be proactive, how might that impact the master plan?
Thank you. Thank you.
So I know it's a little like drinking from the fire hose.
Well, again, we'll have plenty of time to consider and look at this report ourselves and provide feedback. But are there any initial questions for this group? Senator Bashaw.
I have two questions. The first question is, you were speaking of projections for the growth. I didn't quite understand, where did these projections come from for the growth that we're looking at?
That's my first question. Oh, excuse me, did you finish your question?
No, that's my first one.
Okay. So the projections for enrollment and for faculty and staff came from the provost's office. The projections for research came from the vice president for research.
Thank you. And the second question relates to your short-term and your long-term spaces. We're looking at student life and recreational facilities. So is this kind of space, are we looking at something like a track that goes along with that? Or now are we looking at, with this special event center, is that like a sports stadium, like a small arena for?
Sure, the track is out of doors, and that's focused on the NCAA requirements, mm-hmm. but also could be used certainly for recreation, other purposes. So that was working with the athletic program that we were given.
Okay.
And for the special events center, that was an opportunity that was identified through talking with many people, including obviously the Nutter Center, as well as athletics, but also research as well, and others in academics. The opportunity for different scales of presentation and conferencing that will now evolve with some of the conferencing, frankly, that's already started to take place with the NEC. And so initially that special event center was thought of as an opportunity, I would say, most benefiting student life and engagement back of the campus in terms of moving some of the athletic and recreation venues back, as well as serving the Nutter Center, who are frankly also challenged because of scheduling to make certain venues that they could invite but are difficult with the synthesis that they have to have with the athletic schedule and can't be quite as big as they need to be. So this would be a multi-purpose center or a special event center in that, yes, definitely it's thought that you would host volleyball, you could host basketball there, but it's also something that would be used for major conferencing event, convocation, commencement, whatever large venue that you would need that you don't currently have that you bring to the Nutter Center, but you can't support as fully as you could within the Nutter Center.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Question. maybe a bit dated, but a few years ago, my students, undergraduate students, complained to me that the transit from the off-campus housing to the campus wasn't safe enough. And so I was wondering, is that still an issue? And if so, are we doing something? They said they drove their cars to campus because they didn't feel safe. It was women students.
Sure.
They didn't feel safe on the transit between the housing and the campus.
Specifically on transit vehicles themselves, or walking. So there are bike paths that are being integrated into this path. The traditional walkways from the Zinc Road neighborhood are also being integrated in. That's an excellent point. We should definitely, we do have a small narrative that we need to write for safety and security. We're not at the level of, you know, citing, for example, where is lighting and things like that, but there would need to be continuing studies to make sure that that was appropriate. Because I think there, I can't speak for what's off campus, but because there is now development in this plan that could be phased over time that, you know, makes better use of that land, so you're not crossing in the dark, you know, a large empty lot. You're coming into activated and occupied facilities. There's more eyes on the street, and those are typically safer environments as well.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes, Senator McGinley.
You had mentioned that you would be looking into various sustainable opportunities and that there would be backup generators and so on being considered. I was wondering if we had also investigated the possibility of solar panels around campus as well.
We are not investigating any of those solutions in great detail, but we are identifying where they could be located and certainly making sure that they're mentioned as a possible strategy that, again, would be the next level of detail that should be incorporated. So there's definitely a next steps that addresses that, that this is a goal, and the university ideally would be able to look further into that.
Okay, then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.